This episode of Hansel Minutes is brought to you by Telerik's DevCraft Q1 2014 online conference, this Thursday, March 6th. Learn how DevCraft, the most comprehensive .NET toolbox, can help you build .NET apps twice as fast. Sign up to see the exciting new features in action and for a chance to win one of 10 DevCraft complete licenses. Registration information is at telerik.com/devcraft.
From HanselMinutes.com, it's Hansel Minutes, a weekly discussion with web developer and technologist Scott Hanselman. This is Lawrence Ryan announcing show number 412, recorded live Thursday, February 20th, 2014. This episode of Hansel Minutes is brought to you by Telerik, offering the best in developer tools and support. Online at telerik.com. And by franklins.net, makers of GesturePad, a powerful gesture recording and recognition system for Microsoft Kinect for Windows developers. Details at gesturepak.com. In this episode, Scott talks with full-stack developer Rushane McBean about JavaScript unit testing with Jasmine.
Hi, this is Scott Hanselman. This is another episode of Hansel Minutes, and I'm here in San Diego at the jQuery conference. And I'm talking with Rushane McBean. She's a full-stack web developer, and she just came off the stage giving a talk about JavaScript unit testing. Thanks for chatting with me.
Not a problem, Scott.
So JavaScript unit testing, I get unit testing. That's cool. And I get JavaScript. But somehow JavaScript can run in so many different places. It can run in the browser. You can run in console apps and Node. And you can host V8, the Chrome JavaScript engine. Somehow it just seems more daunting when you take JavaScript plus unit testing and put them together. And I have to admit that I don't do a lot of JavaScript unit testing. Is that bad?
Yes and no, depending on if you're working with a team or something you plan to come back to in a couple of months. Mm-hmm. Then it might get bad because you might just not remember what you wrote or the intention of it.
Yeah. So it's just as important in JavaScript than it is in any other language. Yeah.
Yes.
And you, your presentation, you talked about Jasmine. That's one of many different choices that I've got available to me?
Correct. And I chose Jasmine because it's very approachable from a behavior unit-driven perspective. And it kind of forces you to start taking your functions and making them more object literal friendly and writing more testable code so you will want to test your code.
Mm-hmm. So I can't just go and take existing JavaScript really and just start like slapping tests in, like just putting asserts everywhere. It's a little different than that.
Right. Yeah. If you have something that's function within a few functions, it'll be hard to test that one expectation actually happened.
Mm-hmm. And you said this is more behavior driven, more BDD than TDD, right?
Right. The way it looks, it's like you're describing that I have this function and when I come to it and interact with it, that one particular thing or several things may happen depending on what is in the function.
Mm-hmm. It seems like I came from a world with more TDD and I kept saying things like assert. And now with BDD, it's much more kind of story driven. You're encouraged to use sentences inside of your expectations that really describe what your intent was.
Correct. Yeah, you're definitely describing something that's very English-like to someone coming to your application. You're describing the function and you're setting out these expectations and seeing if they match particular outcomes, whether they're true or false.
Mm-hmm. And now, Jasmine is not necessarily specific to Node, right? I could use this with any back-end system. This is really about testing the JavaScript that runs in your client browser, right?
Correct. It's very back-end agnostic to what you're doing. It's all about testing what the user's interacting with in the browser.
Mm-hmm. And is it a whole ecosystem of stuff with plugins like jQuery? Or is it, do I just need the main Jasmine stuff?
To get started, you'll just need the main Jasmine. The framework itself doesn't revolve around the DOM or doing anything Ajax-y. Even if your application needs that, you're just testing your vanilla JavaScript without all the other layers. But if you want to test things like that, there are many plugins from the community. Popular ones are Jasmine jQuery, where you can test like the events, interactions that are happening on the page. Then there's Jasmine Ajax, which tests all your Ajax and persistence that may be happening for third-party servers or your own server.
Mm-hmm. Now, I've done a lot of integration testing. So on the, like, automating the browser, like I call it putting the browser on a string like a puppet. This is not that. Is that right? This is not like Selenium.
No, it's not like Selenium in that sense. Selenium fires up a whole web browser and tests your app from start to finish. What Jasmine gives you is a way to test isolated client interactions on the page, on the subset of your page. So you don't have to worry about firing up the whole browser for that if you only cared about what's happening on this particular interaction.
Okay. So I'm not necessarily going to bring up my web server and have server-side generated HTML come across the wire and test that.
Yeah. You don't have to worry about, like, because with Selenium test, you're firing up the whole application and you're waiting for the database and all those other parts to load up just to probably test a click event, when Jasmine kind of gives you that to do without all of the extra steps.
Okay. So in the integration example, you just said like a click event with something like a Selenium or an integration test, I hit click. There's a result of that, which is the Ajax call that goes to a real database and really does stuff. And the results come back and the page changes. That's a full stack integration test.
Right.
What's the kind of stuff that I would check with Jasmine with an on-click?
So if we're just worrying about the on-click events, if your user is coming to the page and they needed a drop-down, you don't necessarily want the whole Selenium browser to do that if you're just checking for interactions. So what the plugin Jasmine jQuery gives you is the ability to click on things, click on the selectors, and check the expectation of the outcome. Did the drop-down show? Did it stay hidden? Are these things actually present now on the page? Whether or not you're serving back any data to your database, you can test those things right with Jasmine.
But that would probably be a separate test. Like, you would break it down into a piece. Like, if I click this button, it makes this drop down appear, and then I check the visibility status of the drop down. That's one thing to expect and check.
Right. Yeah. You would want to, in that scenario, individually test, like, I clicked it, it opened. Now that it's open, is my name visible to see in this drop down? Is a second test you can have in there. And then it forces your code to kind of be granular in a sense that all these functions for this particular event can work aren't dependent on the other ones.
Okay. So this sounds like this is going to push me towards a certain style of writing JavaScript.
Right, and pushes you to writing more modular, reusable code. So if I needed events for one page, they're easily available to me to use on another page, and I don't have to write a long 20-line function all over again.
Mm-hmm. And then it sounds like since there's really no UI, this is all happening just testing the JavaScript, it's not talking to my backend server, that I would write a click handler and make it a function, as opposed to just having a bunch of inline code inside of a click handler. Like, I want to abstract away my interactions.
Right. Yeah. You wouldn't want to click something and it triggering like five more things inside there that you can't test. It is forcing all those separate interactions to live independently.
Okay.
And therefore you have more modular and reusable code.
Okay. So more kind of single responsibility principle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So let's think about this from a hello world perspective. If I've got a hello world function that returns a string at the most abstract, you know, level, I've got a JavaScript function that returns a string and I want to test that. What do I need to do?
So in that instance, you have your function hello world. You would describe it with Jasmine, and then you would set in the spec what an expectation you want to come back.
So describe is a function, or is it a library? What is describe?
So describe is given to you from Jasmine. It's how you describe your test suite or your particular function in this scenario. And then you have these things called it blocks that are testing a single component of your function. So with hello world, if I only wanted to test that I was getting back the world of hello, I could set it up as I'm describing hello world function. Okay. Inside of it, I expect it to return world, and my actual expectation that I set up, that's also given to you from Jasmine, will expect when I call this function that it contains a matcher from Jasmine and gives you back world.
Okay, so let's break that down because there's a lot of really good information in there. So when you say describe, that's a method, and then within that you have a string, which is your description of that specification, that larger method that we're checking. And then you have an anonymous function. So you're saying describe, you know, some string, anonymous function, and then within that, expect is also a method which then takes other anonymous functions?
Right. So, yeah, you have a few anonymous functions going on there from a higher level to describe, which takes a string of any nature. By most convention, people like to put the name of the function they're describing.
Okay.
Then in the it block, that's taking another anonymous function, and that's usually describing that one particular component you're testing, in this case, returning back the string world.
Mm-hmm.
And that expectation given to you from the framework is also going to actually now call to your actual hello world function that exists somewhere else. And then it's going to match that against what you're trying to prove is true or false. In this instance, we want to see if the matcher contains the word hello.
Mm-hmm.
And it will fail or pass accordingly.
Okay, so let's go from describe into the, and you keep saying it block. This is another method that has another function within it, and the block is an anonymous function?
Yeah, the it block is an anonymous function that will actually contain the single component you're testing.
Okay, and then where does the first English sentence appear? Is it really inside of that it block?
The very first one is in the describe block, which is testing the whole component of your function.
So where would I say, like, hello world returns the string world? Where does that English sentence appear?
That particular one will then be in the it block testing that particular component.
Okay, so you're basically saying, you know, it is the case, is kind of implied, right? It is the case that hello world returns the string, and then expect, and then do you have another English sentence?
No. So when you get down to the expect level, now that's actually calling out to your hello world function, and then it will pass a type of matcher, in this case the contain,
mm-hmm.
and see if it actually returns back world.
And then matchers, that's a Jasmine-ism where it's a method that I use to express my expectation. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. And what are some examples of a matcher?
So back playing off of the hello world, you can have expect hello world to equal hello world, that the whole string is actually containing hello world instead of just contained to world. If your function was involved any math, you can check if it equaled anything. You can also negate these functions by putting not before them if you wanted to prove that something was actually false.
So I would actually have the word not. So it's like, you know, hello world, open, close, dot, not, dot, and then keep going?
Right. I expect hello world to not equal hello universe.
So it's a very fluent interface.
Yes.
And then the jQuery, jasmine.jQuery, that it adds additional matchers? Is that how that plugin extends the system?
Right. So that library extends the system, and you can also extend the system yourself if you find that your application needs its own set of matchers. Mm-hmm. That Jasmine, the framework itself, gives you that ability too. The Jasmine jQuery one is giving you some common custom CSS matchers that you typically use in from the jQuery framework. Like, you want to check if something was hidden on the page, or if it exists, does it have CSS? The list goes on, and you can find more at the GitHub page Jasmine jQuery.
So Jasmine jQuery, it sounds like it makes Jasmine kind of speak the language at the level of granularity that a jQuery person would expect.
Right.
Okay. And is that adding, like, lots of things, like is something visible or not, and bringing in the CSS matching, the selector engine?
Yeah. So as long as you're using jQuery itself outside of testing, once you start incorporating testing, you can use the anything from the jQuery API itself to test within your test. Like, you find an element on the page and you actually want to check if it was visible.
So you can use jQuery itself.
Yeah. So you can use like the dot find if you're looking for elements on your page. And then you can actually then use the custom matchers you're getting from Jasmine jQuery to check that something was visible or it had CSS.
Mm-hmm. Now, can I mock things out if I want to bring some fake data back? Like, if I have a function that is going to go off and make an AJAX call, and I really want to test the result of that, you know, can I return fake data?
Yeah. So there's this concept of fixtures. There are JSON ones where you can model out fake data depending on if it's from your coming from your application, the database itself, or coming from a third party service. Then there's HTML fixtures as well, where you're mocking out your templates that you're using in various places that you want to test with Jasmine.
And those are client-side templates like handlebars.
Bars, yeah. Handlebars, like regular HTML.
Okay. And if even though we don't do a lot of HTML fixture work, you're basically saying that I would load those fixtures. Like a fixture might be like an HTML file that represents a small amount of a handlebars template or something like that.
Right.
Like a so partial view.
Yeah, you're typically testing like partial views on the page. You don't need to re-render your whole page for this fixture. Mm-hmm. So those would be isolated partials in a fixtures folder. And then what you would do is you would load that up when you're setting up the suite. So back to the describe blocks I was describing.
Right.
And before that, there's a concept of before each where you can have a lot of mock pre-data. So in there is where you would typically load any partials that you're testing out. If it's any fake JSON data that you want to make sure is in there, you load them up in a before each. And you can also clear them out with an after each when you want to start the next test with a clean slate.
Okay, so before each and after each are well-known function names. And if they live within that describe block, they get called automatically
right.
before each.
Before every it block, yeah.
Okay, so then in the context of an old school TDD person like me, I think of that as being like set up and tear down.
Yes.
Okay, and then I can bring in and change the scope of things. So like if I wanted to bring in any variable that I make in the before each, it's available to me within the Jasmine test.
Correct.
Okay, and when I'm running these, am I doing this with like at the command line with a runner, like a node runner of some kind, or?
Depends. If depending on how you set up your local testing development, you can configure Grunt to do those things. But if you're very new to testing and you feel like automation scares you, you can just run these directly in your browser by loading up a test runner that Jasmine gives you. And it highlights things in green or red depending on where they're failing. But that's more of a manual way to test things.
Okay.
Once you first start getting started, you'll keep refreshing the browser. But automation is a thing that if you're using Ruby, you can set up rig tags for that. If you're using Grunt, you can configure that and other JavaScript tests to do that.
Okay. So as a beginner, I think that I would probably want to see it for a while and see the red and green, and it just feels more real.
Right, yeah.
And then once I get it, I'm able to add some, and then I would graduate.
You would graduate to like putting that in your terminal so you can only see red or green dots depending mm-hmm. on how you configure it.
But you'd also see like English sentences. You're almost building English sentences because I noticed that you have a lot in the test that you showed me. You have a lot of, when I say English, I mean, what I mean by that is prose. You know, you're not just putting like one word here, like expect it works. You know, it didn't. You literally had like, it is the case that the button is visible. And that, so are you stringing those sentences together so that when you run that test at the command line, you're going to get like a whole story about whether or not the thing worked or not?
Right. So yeah, when it starts from that higher level, like we describe hello world, and then it will concatenate onto it when, if you're running them in the browser, it will concatenate the it block of it should print out hello world. If you had a further test that said it should only contain world, it keeps concatenating anything that is an it block scope to anything that is a describe block.
Mm-hmm. And it sounds like you can have as many of these its as you want in these expects.
Right. You can nest your suite so they look a lot more cleaner. You can have multiple describes within a parent describe and multiple its within a singular describe block.
So you can have multiple nested describes. So what would be an example of why I would want to do something like that?
So if you had a tooltip on the page, tooltips typically open and close. So from a higher level, you'll describe the tooltip. And then you want to break down to now I'm interacting with the tooltip. So that would be your second describe. So then within there, you can nest that now I'm interacting with it, but am I interacting with it when it's open or is it closed? So within the interacting block of the describe, you can have an open or a close, and it reads down nice and clean that I've approached this, it was closed, here's what happens when I interact with a closed tooltip, and here's what happens when I interact with an open tooltip.
Okay, so I was initially thinking that this was a way to have too many expectations and kind of overload the test, but you're saying this is really more of a structure thing, like when you nest CSS rules and indent them.
Right.
Just to keep everything all together.
Correct.
And then can I, when I do the test runner, can I go and just run like one and just say like, I don't want to run the whole thing. I just want to run this one describe and down. That might be useful.
Yeah, I believe you can do that when you're like automating things. But if you're just refreshing the console, it's just going to refresh everything. Mm-hmm. You can also call when you have the test runner open, it'll load up all your tests, but you can click on them actually, and then they'll open like its own window on the page where you're only looking at that singular test, and you can keep refreshing that if particularly that was the only one failing.
Yeah, and if it's a problem to run all of your tests all the time, you can just say, I want to focus on this one thing.
Yeah.
How big have you gotten these? I mean, have you gotten into situations with hundreds and hundreds of tests?
I'd say on one of my applications, it was nearing 70 or 75. Uh-huh. But there's not really a performance issue because in a way, you're not loading up the browser like you are with Selenium. So there's nothing to be worried about from a performance perspective.
Actually, you're right. That's a good point. I didn't really think about that. That it's not a matter of you're going as fast as your app can go. Mm-hmm. You really are just focusing on the engine of the JavaScript at its core.
Core, yeah.
And are you finding that this causes you to write your JavaScript really differently, like to separate it in ways that you hadn't thought about before to make it more testable?
Yeah, because it's made me think of there's a lot of things happening on the page that normally you just write the function, not think about it. But the test has actually like forced me to get granular, account for more scenarios that I didn't think were possible before I written the test. Usually you catch those things after you've released to like QA or production, but the test kind of ensure a little bit more code quality before going out the door.
Someone just told me once that one of the reasons that you should test all the time is that if you fear your code, then you're in trouble. Like you write something and it works. Mm-hmm. You're maybe not 100% sure why it works, but you know it does. And you're just, now you don't want to touch it because you're afraid of it. That you should write as many tests as you can until that fear goes away. Because you might like change it, break it in some subtle way. And that subtle thing that you broke is exactly the kind of thing that you need to test for.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely ensures that I definitely approach new features for things. And I'm assured that I'm not really going to break something because there's hopefully a test around that. And I won't catch it too late because my test will either break that or by me writing the test or even me just writing the new functionality. Mm-hmm. If I break something, then I know that I need to fix that test and probably fix my own.
Now, you've talked about interactions with data and interactions with tooltips and things like that, which are very kind of visual things. When do you know that you're getting too close to integration testing and you need to, Jasmine's no longer the thing you want to use and it's time to test that in an integration test?
When I'm starting to mock out, I would say, the whole feature within within that test, then I know that like I need to be doing a full integration test of like the user came to my site, they logged in, and they did all those things.
Yeah. Sometimes I found myself, this has happened a couple times. I mean, I think we've all had this happen where, you know, I'm mocking, and then I'm like, I've been mocking for like an hour. What the hell am I testing?
Right.
I'm testing nothing. I have literally mocked nothing out to see if that string equals this. So yeah, it's time to take a break.
Yeah.
That's cool. Is there an example of something that just Jasmine is just not right for? I mean, like, so like interactions, integration testing, it's just, yeah, I suppose you could do it like that, but that's not what it's meant to do if you have to generate a whole lot of stuff on the server side.
Right. Yeah. If you're generating a lot of like the fixtures and partials for your Jasmine, I would probably approach am I sure I'm doing the right testing? But so far, it's been a really good introduction to testing for client side. There are things that you're going to probably outgrow and start to look for other libraries for Jasmine or just another framework in general once you may find that Jasmine doesn't fit your standards anymore.
Mm-hmm. And have you made this a standard part of your toolkit now?
Yes. I write as many Jasmine tests as I can when I find them necessary. But I find that it's a nice complement to the integration test because you don't need to fire up the browser every time for something.
Mm-hmm. And how often do you have these running? I've heard of people who saying that they just want these on another monitor just going all the time and just like refresh, refresh, refresh. And then other people do it where they're like just doing it during a build, where they don't run the test all the time.
Typically, I have them running if I'm touching multiple files for a feature, I'll kind of have it watching my whole application. Mm-hmm. So that if I touch that file, it'll automatically run. I didn't break anything. Typically, once I'm done with the feature and I've written my test for it, then I'll most likely run the whole build on my machine first. Mm-hmm. Before pushing out. especially when I don't have my own dev server that's running through a Circle CI or something like that.
Mm-hmm. So you're using Grunt. That's your kind of your build system?
Yeah. So yeah, if I'm not doing a Ruby application, I typically use Grunt. If not, I'll just use, I'll write a rake task for that.
Okay. So the model is you're writing your JavaScript, you're writing your Jasmine test. You've, of course, graduated, so you're not doing this in the browser. It's all at the command line. And you mm-hmm. just go over, you hit Grunt, and then see the results in the command line there, and you know right away whether the thing works.
Right.
Okay. That's cool. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I would want to know about Jasmine. Are there any plugins that aren't the jQuery example that are like must-haves, like the essential Jasmine plugin? I know you're a jQuery mm-hmm. fan. We're right. at the jQuery conference. But I'm just thinking that like other than Jasmine and Jasmine jQuery, are those like the essentials?
There's also a good one, Jasmine Ajax, for mocking out a lot of those calls.
Is that something that you do a lot? Like where you, I mean, that's an example of an interaction that really kind of is more appropriate because mm-hmm. you're going to maybe take a list or an array of something, do some sorting, and then assert that the result occurred. But you don't want to call the actual back end. You just mm-hmm. want to test the manipulation.
I want to test the manipulation for that the client got back and make sure, like, was it a successful response or not? And then what's happening once I got that response?
Mm-hmm. Have you found at all where Jasmine will change the behavior of another library just because it's in, because it's there? Like, will Jasmine's presence affect any of your variables?
No, it's very agnostic and very standalone. You can incorporate it with other plugins people have written for it, like jQuery, the Jasmine jQuery and Ajax, or you can use other ones like Mocha, Chai.
Okay, what are those?
Those are,
it sounds like you guys, and by you guys, I mean like I'm a Microsoft person. So JavaScript people, it's like every possible noun .js. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're just like naming off kinds of coffee. And I'm supposed to know that those are JavaScript libraries. I feel really bad. Like, you know, I mean, I try to be as up on the stuff as possible, mm-hmm. but now I've just learned that Mocha and Chai are two things that I want to know about.
Got it. So,
Jasmine tea, I assume that's why it's called Jasmine, is another drink.
I think this one was called after Jasmine rice.
Okay. So what are Mocha and Chai and how do they relate?
So those are Mocha and Chai are another like TDD and BDD frameworks. Hmm. With Chai, though, you have more flexibility to write in a more BDD or TDD style. There are two components of the library, so you can configure it however you want to be readable. Those are things to graduate to after Jasmine, just because they're a lot more configurable, a lot more extendable. I recommend Jasmine just because, like, you'll understand BDD and unit testing at the same time, and it's all a familiar Englishly-like language mm-hmm. to get your feet wet. And then there's also a QUnit that jQuery uses to test jQuery, and that's more like drilled down unit testing. It doesn't look as Englishly as Jasmine, but it is.
Okay. So you think that for the listener who is getting into JavaScript unit testing, this is the best on-ramp, not like a JS unit or QUnit or something like that?
QUnit would be a second. I recommend Jasmine just because I grasped it easier mm-hmm. coming from a BDD centric team. So moving over to Jasmine was very natural fit for me when it came to testing JavaScript. QUnit would be my second favorite before moving on to Mocha or Chai or even Sinone, which is for doing more stubs and mocks.
How do you spell that?
Sinon. I always mispronounce it. Some people say Sinone, some people say Sinon. But everyone in the community always seems to know what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's all that matters. Yeah, I think that I've had people from BDD communities on before, and I've always felt as a test agnostic person. Like, I don't have like a religious mm-hmm. way. I don't really care. You know, whatever DD.
Right.
But as long as you're testing, whether it's BDD or TDD, and there were all people always love to argue about whether BDD or TDD, but I think whatever feels the most comfortable mm-hmm. and whatever feels the most intuitive and whatever you feel yourself naturally writing would be the framework that you would then gravitate towards. Yeah. So it sounds like BDD is kind of like where your heart is. So that's just kind of made sense to
move that Jasmine. Direction. Yeah.
Okay. And so people can learn more about Jasmine at the GitHub Jasmine page, and they can go on certain Google for Jasmine.
Right.
And then we'll put your Twitter handle, Copacetic Kid, on the show notes.
Yes, and they could also reach out to me there.
Very cool. Well, thank you, Rashane McBean, for chatting with me today at the jQuery conference.
Thank you.
This has been another episode of Hansel Minutes, and we'll see you again next week.